ice cold beer.
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, good morning. Welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells, joined in the dugout by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hello.
Who I'm gonna sit back, gonna maybe mute my mic after this for a second, because he said he wants to go on a Jays rant. He's wearing like the Vernon Wells era Jay's cap. He's got the throwback tee, little distressed kind of looking Jay, and I think maybe he's a distressed looking Jay's fan.
So, yeah.
So let's tee this up here.
Man, so the Jays are starting to trade a bunch of players off. They traded J.A. Happ to the New York Yankees for Brandon Drury and McKinley, an outfield prospect. They traded Sungwon Oh to the Rockies for a single A ball 24-year-old first baseman and some other and another prospect. And it's just like, I had at least some faith in Mark Shapiro and Mr. Ross Atkins for a little bit, but I just, at this point in time, they're selling off guys for next to nothing. They're not getting good returns on it. And so, like, my rant on this is that sometimes no returns, and this is something that drives me nuts about all GMs, not just the Jays, but the Jays are currently on my mind about doing this, and it's making me upset, is that mediocre returns are worse than no returns. I would rather have the roster space. I would rather qualify them and get the pick and do what I want with it, then get a like Brandon Drury, because I know what Brandon Drury is. He's just a less fun Yan-Hervis Solarte. Like, that's a mess. Why do I want more of those guys on my roster?
For J.A. Happ, who was certainly one of the most desirable pitchers,
they had the most
also,
leverage.
With some of the trades that have also gone down now, he would have been like probably the most desirable pitcher.
Well, yeah, because Andrisse's gone. Andrisse went to the D-backs, and Hamels is now on the Cubs. And so, like, if you're looking for a left-hander, like a left-handed starting pitcher, it's him, right?
Yeah.
So why not? I just don't get it. Like, they traded him early and got a less fun Yan-Hervis Solarte and a Triple-A outfield prospect, of which we have way too many of. Like, just crazy. The Alfreds and the Dwight Smiths and like, every single potential whatever. And so now you've got way too many utility infielders, of which Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro seem to be collecting, like, their freaking pogs. And I just don't get what the plan is. So are you trading Yan-Hervis Solarte? Are you trading Devin Travis? Is this lining up for a Josh Donaldson trade? Like, I just don't get what the plan is at this point in time. You're making a mess out of the roster, and you're getting mediocre returns. And again, like, I'd rather, you only have so many 40-man roster spots, right? And you can only protect so many guys from the Rule 5 draft. And so, like, what's the point?
Do you think, like, Drury and that are pieces in a Donaldson trade? Like, that they're throw-ins or something?
No. I just think that, like, if they're acquiring more infielders to play more infield positions, that's like a rotating infield, right? And they have, and I do too, such a belief in Vlad Jr., that you know, maybe they're planning on just trading Donaldson and using those guys to fill the gaps in between, stop gaps, basically.
So, I mean, Drury, it's funny. I mean, his name is so close to Dreary, which feels like the kind of returns and prospects that that have yielded in these trades. What do you see as the path for the Jays in the next few years? Because, of course, I mean, first of all, trading Hap to the Yankees, bolstering the Yankees at this point.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to stay there, right?
Feels redundant. But they do need pitching. This is like it's Luis Severino and no one.
Well, really. Now it's Luis Severino and J.A. Happ.
Well, I mean, so yeah, up to this point though, that was their glaring need. But like on the offensive side, they've got a ton of young guys.
Yeah, and the Orioles basically gave him Zach Britton for nothing too.
And then you've got the Red Sox and like perpetual third place, like or like you know, do you just like how many years of Vlad do you have to waste before you need to kind of like...
Yeah, and I mean, that's the question, right? And there's all these rumors swirling around about them potentially trading Marcus Stroman to the Braves, which might make sense if they get two B-plus arm prospects out of it. But I don't know. I think the plan is to just, like, bottom out. They obviously seem to think that they can buy pitching in free agency. That seems to be the thought, right? Like they keep stocking up on position players,
right.
Position player prospects. They've spent most of their draft capital on that. If you look up and down their top prospects list, it's almost entirely hitters. So it seems to me that, and I don't necessarily blame them to this level of thinking, but at the same time, like if you're going to get hitting prospects in order to try and take a run at this, don't get mediocre mid-level prospects. Like McKinley was the 20th ranked prospect in the Yankee system. He's the 18th ranked prospect in the Jays system. So it's not like you're taking a punt on a guy that has a real chance of being a real major leaguer. That guy's more or less org filler. Like he's organizational filler. He's going to play AAA for like almost the entirety of his life, probably. Maybe get a couple of stints here or there when there's injury problems. But like, we're not talking about a guy who's going to be an everyday player in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. And again, like I know what Brandon Drury is. He's a guy that can play first, second, third, and a little bit of the outfield. You know, a utility guy that's going to hit .260. His on base percentage is going to be 320-ish. You know, he's going to hit maybe 20 homers in a year. He's just Yan-Hervé Solarte with half the fun. You know, like I can tell, like Solarte is not a great baseball player. He's good. He's serviceable, but he's like fun to watch because of how ridiculous he is with the dancing and the weird gator clap he does when he hits a home run. And like just, you know, you can see how lively the clubhouse is with him in it. And Brandon Drury is just like the classic Yankee. He's so freaking milquetoast.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I just don't care about watching that guy on the field if he's not fun.
No. So with this rumor of Stroman possibly being flipped to the Braves, I mean, there you're talking about, you know, trading a dollar for four quarters if you get these two B-plus. I mean, like, is that necessarily like, I mean, it's more pitchers, but it's not necessarily like lateral move.
It pushes your timeline down the road, I guess, is what. But I agree with you. I mean, most of the time when you take a look at trades that involve a major league player going someplace for prospects, most, like, at least 7.5 times, maybe we're going to go with a full 8 times out of 10, the team that trades for the actual major league baseball player wins that deal. Prospects are cool. Parades are cooler. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, I remember speaking of this hat, I remember being really, really, really freaking excited when Travis Snyder was hitting like Barry Bonds in AAA. Guess what happened to Travis Snyder? Not in the league anymore. So...
Yeah, no, AAA performance is not necessarily indicative of big league performance. And we've seen this time and again. And yeah, I mean... Is this something where like Shapiro buys himself a bunch of time because he keeps kind of hitting the reset where it's like, oh, well, these guys are coming up. Just wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, Jared talks all the time about how Shapiro is good at building a rebuild, but not the right guy to finish it. And that might be the case here, right? where they make all the right draft picks, they trade for all the right prospects, and at some point in time, you just realize that you need to get over the hump on a pair of guys who are rather mediocre at trading for MLB talent, maybe just aren't the guys to do it. So you go out there and you get a shark, you know, someone that's going to come in and he's going to make some really hard-nosed deals for guys that, you know, other teams might not make. The Andrew Miller trade, for example, and just make the run. But I don't know. I don't think the Sox are going to be good for that much longer. I mean, they have a lot of really good players, but a lot of teams seem to be really anxious about this current luxury tax, and I don't think the Red Sox are going to be all that much different. Obviously, I think they're going to pay if they think they have a chance to win, but their pitching is old, and they don't have any arms in the cupboard to stock it with. So I don't know what they're going to do.
So you feel their window is a tighter one than the Yankees, let's say.
Yeah, I really believe so. I mean, Craig Kimbrell is out the door next year, right? He's a free agent, and I think he probably goes where the most money is. And whether or not that's there or someplace else is, I don't know. But, yeah, I think that Houston could be looking to pay him a bunch of money, too, because
fully locked in closer.
They don't trust what they've got going on there. And you never know, right? Like the Cubs might move on from Brandon Morrow and go after Kimbrel. You know, the Natties, you know, with all that Bryce Harper money that they're going to have freed up, they might go after Kimbrel and Dozier to fill the spots of Doolittle and Murphy, right? So I just don't think he's going to be there. Chris Sale is a Tommy John surgery waiting to happen, and we've been saying this for years.
But yeah, I mean, he successfully seems to have, like,
I guess,
skirted it all. Like,
you never really know until it happens, though.
I mean,
right?
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, his like arm slot suggests,
yeah,
that at some point it's coming. But like, it seemed to have suggested that for several years now. And playing against him in fantasy, I'm always like, when is this other shoe going to drop? But it never drops.
Never drops. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't think that their arms, especially their bullpen, are set up for long term success. I think the Red Sox window is probably 2 or 3 years. At which point, then Vlad is, you know, whatever, 20. See, right now, is he 19? So 25 at the most. You still got him for 3 years of control. I can wait for that. The Yankees, however, are set up to be good forever, yeah. And that sucks.
As a fellow AL team fan who doesn't like the Yankees, yes, I would fully agree that it sucks. They were dealt a little bit of bad news, obviously, this week, as Aaron Judge fractured his wrist. Won't require surgery. He did stay at bat long enough to produce a single after he got his wrist broken.
He's crazy.
Which is kind of wild.
He's crazy.
This was in Thursday's game against the Royals.
This Darren Judge things.
But, yeah, obviously we're looking at an indeterminate number of weeks.
I've read somewhere that he won't even pick up a bat for 3 weeks.
Okay, so 3 weeks with nothing, and then so it's a chip fracture to the ulnar styloid bone. This is per the team, but surgery not required. And then, of course, I mean, he's a slugger, so not even touching a bat for 3 weeks. There's probably a few more weeks of rehab and stuff like that.
We're probably
looking at like six.
I mean, think. Of the timeline for Freddie Freeman, right? Broke his wrist last year, didn't end up having surgery. He was out for 8 and then didn't even look right for probably about 12 to 14-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're talking about the playoffs before Aaron Judge is probably going to be Aaron Judge again. Which, I mean, is fine for the Yankees, right?
Is this his glove wrist? I'm just trying to think if
He's a left-handed... He catches left-handed.
Okay.
So it's his throwing arm. Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to think in terms of how this would affect even being in the field.
They don't need to care, though, right? They just DH him instead of Stanton and put Stanton in right.
True enough.
Yankee problems,
indeed. And in terms of other teams that just seem to have like runs of really good luck, let's turn to that Cole Hamels trade.
Oh, Cubbies.
The Cubs.
Cubbies doing Cubs things.
Cubs going to Cub. After, you know, a century of ineptitude.
They got Theo Epstein.
They got Theo, and he's
so good.
There's a first ballot Hall of Famer for you.
He's broken two curses. I don't doubt that he's probably going to go somewhere else and win again, right? Once he's done this whole Cubs thing. I don't think he's done.
You know, trying to think, like, if they continue to struggle, Cleveland?
I mean, that's on the list. I think
if they're, like, close but not quite there, does he go there and end that drought?
So,
Texas technically, I think, is the longest.
I think it depends on whether or not there's an expansion. If there's an expansion, I think he takes one of the expansion teams.
And then he pulls, like, a Vegas Knights.
I think he just wants to... I think he has a great interest in seeing if he can just build a team from the ground up.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't necessarily build it from the ground up with the Cubs, but he did, like, a hard reset. Right?
Correct.
I mean, this was, you know, like a slash-and-burn operation.
I do think that if there's no expansion, that Texas and Cleveland are two really good choices. I think the Dodgers might be another one, right? If the Dodgers haven't won by then, mm-hmm. and you're looking at the end of the Kershaw years, right? Like, he's not the pitcher that he used to be, and, you know, they're looking at an overwhelming tax bill and an aging roster, then I think you might see Theo go to the Dodgers and just work his magic there, because they haven't won in forever either.
Yeah, if he manages to three-peat in that sense, like, to, like, turn around three different organizations who have, like...
He's already in on the first ballot.
Yeah.
He's already in on the first ballot, but I don't know. I already think he's the greatest general manager of all time. He's crazy.
So Dallas Morning News is Evan Grant, followed up by Yahoo Sports' Jeff Passan. The 34-year-old Cole Hamels goes from the Rangers to the Cubs in exchange for minor league prospects. At this point,
just kind of nobody's.
No one.
Yeah.
Really, like, future financial considerations.
There is one player and another player to be named later, which is almost never anything good.
That player's name is Rawlings. It's a bag of balls. So Hamels, he's in the final guaranteed year of a contract that would, comes with a $20 million club option for next year. There is a $6 million, buyout if he doesn't eclipse his thresholds in that contract. So, I mean, this is a really low risk proposition for the Cubs.
I mean, it's a low risk, high reward.
They gain a really strong arm.
Potentially. But at the worst,
at a time when they need him,
at the worst, he's just pitching instead of Tyler Chatwood, right? Like, that's it.
Well, like, you get a pretty experienced SP3, right? Like,
yes, yeah. I mean, he's good. He was at one point really good. He hasn't been good in a couple of years, but you know, when he was on the Phillies, so from 2011 until 2016, he put up at least four wins above replacement a year. He's pretty much put up four ever since he joined. Like, he came up with the Phillies in 2007. This guy is a good pitcher, and pretty much all of his time as an elite pitcher was spent in the National League. So maybe moving back there helps him out.
His six starts at Wrigley, he's 3-1 with a 1.76 ERA. At Wrigley, obviously, playing in Texas, I mean, it's a bit of a bandbox, Arlington, and so ERAs do sometimes get inflated. I haven't looked at his home road splits for this year, but he did go 5-9 with a 4.72 ERA and a 1.37 WHIP. So not necessarily. I mean, the WHIP is really the one I look at in that case, and a 1.3 is not good. And his strikeout to walk ratio is 2.71, so not necessarily a stellar peripherals.
His xFIP does suggest that his ERA should be around lower 4, however, and his Sierra the same, both at around 4.1, which means that his peripherals suggest that he should be better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, his WHIP is not particularly good, and he's not striking out a lot of guys. Who knows? I don't know.
But I mean, so the rotation, John Lester, Jose Quintana, Kyle Hendricks, and then, of course, I'd totally forgotten this because, of course, he's been on the DL because of a triceps injury. Yu Darvish.
He's throwing right now.
He's on this squad.
They've got him throwing off a mound.
I mean, admittedly, like, maybe like 3 years ago, if you put together that roster, everyone would be like agog. This would have been like the Phillies SI cover from about 5 years ago.
That didn't end up winning World Series.
But
sorry, Doc.
I know. But like... these are all capable pitchers who, you know, when you get into the postseason and you're looking at, you know,
it gives you options,
what
right?
kinds of things you can throw out there.
Yeah, it gives you options.
Because you might bring someone like Cole Hamels or Yu Darvish in for like two innings.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Darvish has thrown out of the pen before and been moderately successful. I don't think you want to bring John Lester out of the pen because we all saw what happened the last time we tried that.
That one doesn't work so much.
I mean, they ended up winning, but it was in spite of
Lester,
him.
Quintana, Hendricks are your 1-2-3, and then you have Hamels and Darvish in reserve.
Yeah, I think so. Send Chatwood to minor leagues, AAA.
But yeah, really, you know, cost them next to nothing. And certainly positions them well in an interesting National League race.
The Brewers also made a move too in order to compete. They went out and got Joakim Soria, who I really like, and that makes their bullpen really scary, right? With if you've got Hader to pitch 6-7, Soria to pitch 8, and then Knebel to pitch 9, that's tough
Brewers,
to beat.
John Morosi, this is as of last night, MLB Network's citing a source saying Cincinnati's in ongoing talks with the Brewers to get Harvey.
I love Harvey. I am an unabashed Harvey stan. I will stand for Harvey forever, but I don't know about
that. The Reds traded him for Mesoraco in May.
Right.
And it's looking like they are looking to flip him. Well, to the Brewers, I mean, which is an interesting one.
What we figured, right? It was a low-risk move for them. Harvey was on a much lower contract, and it wasn't like he was going to help them make the playoffs. They were hoping he'd come in, pitch really well, and they would flip him. I also heard Mariners were in the talks for that, too. What the heck Jerry DePoto is going to trade for him? I don't know, but I'd like to see Matt Harvey at Safeco.
So, Milwaukee, starting rotation, Brent Suter's out with a torn UCL, and Zach Davies is dealing with some sort of health problem.
Junior Guerrero just got back.
So there is need for an arm, and they are, of course, trying to catch the Cubs
right
in the National League Central. And so adding to the rotations certainly wouldn't hurt. Obviously, they've dealt with the bullpen with the Soria acquisition. So shoring up kind of both sides of the pitching equation.
I've heard them linked to Brian Dozier as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So speaking of, possible trade stuff, the other one that I saw that I thought was pretty interesting was, and just kind of in the Twins vein, was Presley.
Oh!
Because apparently pretty much every team that's looking to acquire a reliever has asked the Twins, and the Twins are
interesting,
kind of ambivalent about trading him because he's on a really good team deal. I think he's like 1.6 a year.
Super team friendly.
But
interesting.
This was, I think, MLB Trade Rumors that I was reading it on, that basically half the league has made inquiries.
Wow.
Right? Like anyone who thinks they're a buyer at this point.
I never would have thought about that. That's crazy. Wow. I mean, I if you had just told me that one team had inquired about Ryan Presley, I would have thought that's such an A's move. Like, that just screams Billy Bean.
I mean, it definitely does.
But half the league. Really think?
Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic via Twitter.
If he reports it.
Every contender has reached out to the Twins to inquire about the availability of reliever Ryan Presley.
Wow.
The former Rule 5 pick is in the midst of his best season to date in the majors. He's averaging 95.8 miles per hour on his fastball, and he has a 13.0 K per nine against a 3.6 walks per nine.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's doing it right now.
And his swinging strike rate ranks fifth among qualified relievers.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? So it makes sense that teams would want him.
And actually, his FIP marks are even better than his ERA and stuff. His XFIP is 2.86 and his CR is 2.72.
Wow. That's really good for a reliever.
So that's
really good.
Really strong stuff and, like, sneaky, right? Like you said.
I didn't even think about it. This feels like something that
a Billy Bean or someone like that would be kind of, like, looking.
Yeah.
You know, four arms down the depth chart in the bullpen for for some sort of, like...
You know, turns him into his closer, lets him go wild for a couple months, and then trades him off for a lot of pieces. Just classic Billy Veen.
So...
That might be an Astros move, too. Get the guy and make him the closer.
Jake Kaplan, also from The Athletic, pointed out that the Presley fits the Astros' preferred template of a high-spin four-seamer and curveball.
And everyone knows that once you go there, your spin rate goes up a whole bunch, so...
Conceivably, that's a place where they're...
Yep, no, I like that.
His spin rate is already 7th highest, so, and his slider's 16th.
As a Twins fan, what would you expect back for him, considering how poor the reliever market has been?
That's the thing, right? Like, he may have, like, strong interest, but people are not really paying top dollars in terms of, like, when you look at what arms have been traded already.
I mean, the Royals got next to nothing.
What the return has been for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelvin Herrera did not really yield much. I'm just trying to think in terms of the Astros, like farm system.
Oh, it's just packed.
Like they have,
it's so packed. There's so much value there.
Like their top 30 prospect list is really kind of ridiculous.
It's crazy. No, it's insane. The Astros have just, they're going to be good forever too. Talk about the Yankees being good forever. The Astros are also going to be good forever. So if you're not an Astros fan, I'm sorry.
16 of them in the draft, 10 from the international, and 4 by trade.
No, they're just really good.
In their top 30. That's a ridiculous... Yeah, no, and I mean, so...
Are you getting a top 50 prospect, or a top, even a top 20? Yeah, like, are you getting a top 30 prospect out of them? I mean, maybe the high 20s, but I don't know that you're getting a lot of value, considering that, you know... Sungwon Oh, Joachim Soria, Kelvin Herrera, all got pretty much nothing.
So, like, maybe someone like Miguel Angel Sierra, shortstop, second base prospect? Because if they
He's so blocked.
If they're going to trade Dozier or not retain him, they're going to need
somebody.
He's completely blocked.
So blocked. Altuve's not going anywhere.
Altuve and Correa.
Correa's not going anywhere. And even if Correa did go somewhere, Bregman's still there.
Bregman can slide over.
Oh,
there's no problem.
So blocked.
And these guys are all young superstars.
Yeah.
That, like the.
I mean, they're going to have to do something eventually, right?
The world in which they're going to need him. It seems pretty elusive. Do you bring that guy up and like put him on the bench as like, you know,
no,
the like super utility or something? Like no, not necessarily.
You've already got Marwin Gonzalez to do that. You don't pay high end prospects or have high end prospects do that. You trade high end prospects for elite relief pitchers, for example.
Yeah, if I'm Minnesota, maybe I ask for that.
I would. Interesting. We'll see, I guess. We'll see.
Yeah, this is a TBD, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff flying around because the...
I think that might be...
It's what, Tuesday's the non-waiver deadline?
Yeah, the 30th.
The 31st? 31st. So, yeah, that's the end of the month is right around the corner here. And...
yeah. You know,
is ticking.
My only thing with that, right, is that I think Houston, with a prospect like that, might be waiting on Bryce Harper. Who I think might... It depends on what the Natties do over the next couple of days.
Because like you said, Murphy, they're going to need a second baseman.
Yeah. I don't think that... I think... So I was listening to Inside Pitch yesterday on MLB Radio, and that was something they were talking about, right? That like, if you trade... If you're the Nationals and you're Mike Rizzo, and you trade... And you trade Bryce Harper and Daniel Murphy, right? If you trade those two guys, then you are, you free up so much money, right? Harper's going to want $40 to $50 million. Whether or not he gets it, who knows? But that's what he's going to want. Murphy is on not a super team-friendly contract either. You free up a lot of money. You can go ahead and chase Brian Dozier. You can go ahead and chase whatever catcher you feel like. You can go ahead and chase a bunch of pitchers. You can get... Craig Kimbrell, and your outfield is still set because you've still got Adam Eaton for another 2 years. You've still got Victor Robles for what, 6 or 7, and Juan Soto for whatever the same is, right? So you don't need Bryce Harper, if we're being perfectly honest. And you probably, with the way Murphy is, he's almost at the peak of his value, right? If he comes back and starts mashing, you know, for the next couple of days, you trade him. I don't know. That's just what I think. And you free up a bunch of space. I think Harper could be going to the Astros or the Diamondbacks or maybe even the Cleveland Lindors.
The bullpen light was flashing. And
welcome, Zook.
Thank you.
So what do you think of Brian's thoughts about the Natties?
About who?
The Nationals. The possibility.
I love that they're imploding this year. You know me.
Oh,
I'm a big
that's
fan
right.
Of that.
Lifelong Expo fan. Can't stand the Nationals.
It couldn't happen to a better organization. I mean, it's nothing against it, but they're. Anyways, it's no different if people were when the Jets 1.0 and Phoenix Coyotes were doing anything good. I'm sure no one was really cheering them too much. But you know, it's been a bit of a disaster year for them, and everything is kind of imploding on them. Strasburg and Scherzer are going at it in the dugout, and Harper's nowhere near. I mean, it seems like he's just sullen all year. He just hasn't got out of the funk there. I mean, if the Nationals are smart, they're going to trade him. I mean, it seems like he's going to walk, and if he's going to walk, you might as well do at least what Baltimore did and get some prospects back and get something for that value. I mean, are they going to re-sign him at $30 or $40 million? I don't think so. I mean, there's 5 to 10 suitors who are going to be out there who are going to take a chance on Harper. I think it's insane that he would be paid that much. I mean, if I'm Mike Trout, I would call up the agent right after he signs whatever he signs and just say, whatever deal I got, you got to give me one extra dollar more than Harper, because Mike Trout is the best probably player of our generation right now. And I don't know how Bryce Harper, I mean, it's just the economy of the market and stuff. But if I'm the Nationals, the deadline's the 31st. And we've seen this week there's just tremendous amount of trades. The Blue Jay fans, their best probably player this year, just got traded yesterday for a bucket of balls. I mean,
thank you.
I will say this, Brian. I actually saw a half on Sunday. I was actually at the Rogers Center, I guess is what they're calling it now. And
Skydome.
He pitched very well. You know, I mean, it was a good showcase for him. He was against Baltimore, so you know that's a free win in the bingo space there. And it is. I mean, it really is. It was funny. We talked to some Oriole fans after, and I just commiserated with them because, I mean, you're talking about a tough year. I mean, that's a tough year. Jay Happ, had a great season, I think, with the Blue Jays, and I think the Yankees got a steal on that. I mean, that's crazy.
I agree.
Like, that's just, to me, if I'm a Jays fan, you know, Happ was one of the marquee guys. I mean, the Cubs wanted him, the Astros wanted him, the Cubs have to go get Cole Hamels. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, they didn't get a prospect, right, Brian? You would know this. Like, you're a Jays fan. Why would you get Drury?
Well, they did get a prospect. They got McKinley, who is 18th in the system right now. But
he's not even a top. He's not even a top.
You're right.
They were talking about Andujar or something. Like, I mean, somebody, right? Someone
I would have been okay with Clint Frazier.
Sure, exactly. At least a name.
We're talking about being really blocked. Clint Frazier is very blocked, right? Like, Brett Gardner's not going anywhere. Aaron Hicks isn't going anywhere. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton are not going anywhere. So I don't know. Like, they have all these outfield prospects and nothing to do with them. I would have much rather have gotten Clint Frazier and a bunch of organizational filler than Brandon Drury and McKinley. Man, that's weak.
It is. I mean, at the end of the day, it just baffles me a bit. I mean, could they have waited? Or, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like, you know, he was sought after by many, many teams. I just read a great article on ESPN yesterday where they were saying, like, Cashman, they just kind of waited out the Jays a bit here and that they knew they wanted him. But, you know, the for whatever reason, it seemed like they – you know, dictated the trade than the Blue Jays. I mean, they are the ones who have the asset. We'll never know because, you know, these are a lot of inner dealings that we don't have an idea as fans of it. But if you're a Blue Jay fan today, I mean, your team just got worse again, right? Like, I mean, it's just a spiraling down of this whole season. And the problem is, it's like, I think, you know, the Blue Jays is at least with Baltimore, you're bottoming out. You know, you're sacrificing this year and probably next year to try and get better, right? And either you do the full rebuild or you go for it, right? And what the Blue Jays have done over the last couple of years is kind of the middle. And the middle is a horrible place to be if you're a fan of that team. Because
treadmill of mediocrity.
Hey, so you can get to 75 or 80 wins. So what? You know what I mean?
Like, no, I agree.
So
it's
what,
not good.
Right? Like I mean, and it's not like they just fill the coffers with some young prospects. I mean, yeah, Vladdy's out there, Vladdy Jr., which would be great, and they've got some young guys.
Bichette and Tellez and Clemens. And
But their pitching is atrocious.
Yeah,
it's atrocious. And then you've just, your top guy, your best asset, you got Bieske, you just gave him away for 50 cents on the dollar. So I don't know. I mean, so if I go back all the way to the end where you were asking Michael to start the Nats, sell it. I mean, I do what Baltimore did. They got a good pickup for everyone knew Machado was going, and one of those guys is going to pan out, right? They got five prospects.
Yeah, the thing is that Harper's is the Nationals' most marketable player, right? Which is like the only reason I could see for them holding up, right? Or them thinking that they're going to go on a run and catch the Braves and win that division. Because they're only, four games back? Five games back right now?
So they're 2.5 games back of Atlanta and seven back of the Phillies.
Yeah, right now. I'm selling right now. I'm going out there and I'm saying, Kate, thanks, Bryce, for your leal service to the Washington Nationals franchise. We're going to bring us back a boatload of prospects.
That's the way I would look at it. I mean, they're scuffling, right? I mean, they're literally a 500 team. That's exactly what they are. I mean, and you know, are they going to win a World Series this year? No,
unlikely.
They're not going to beat the Dodgers or the Cubs or even someone like, you know, be it the Phillies or the Braves or whatever. Like, I
don't
see
it.
The problem is at the end of the day, like, the Dodgers re-up, they're the ones who are in the driver's seat here, right? They made the big move. They really had a strong stretch here to get back in the first place. It's just one of these seasons. I just don't feel like Washington. If you don't think you're going to win it, then you might as well get something from him. Because if you don't, and then you go for it, and then he's going to walk. Like, there's just no way Washington's going to keep him, I don't think.
I think he wants to be a Cub real badly.
No, there you go. All right. I mean, there's also that, right? I mean, there's just, you know, if he wants to get out too, then you might as well get something for him. And then, you know, then he can figure out, you know, it could be just a rental and then go from there. But at the end of the day, I'm not shedding a tear for the Nationals.
I don't know. I like the Natties. They're all right. I just I think that they have had a really bad, like a really serious run of bad luck, and it's been unfortunate for them and their fans. Because Washington is
really
Washington's such a tortured fan base. At least they were until
the
Caps.
You know, I could just talk about 1994, and no one who's listening was alive in 1994. But we'll go back to the strike year where the Expos never will know if they ever won.
Listen,
the World Series. And they might not have moved to Washington, but that's another story.
I've got sympathy for the Expos, man. I've got all kinds of sympathy for the Expos. My dad's an Expos fan. I get it. I do. I was born in 91. I have fond memories of going to the O. My profile picture on all my social media is a picture of me at the O with Yuppie. So I have fond memories of the Expos. I do. I can't wait for them to come back. But you can't cry over spilt milk.
But no, fair enough. Well, yeah, you can actually. But the other thing is, I mean, I'm talking about... You
really cry over anything.
There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. Texas Rangers. Now, that's a fan base that is tortured, right? They should have won a World Series.
Two strikes away. They were one strike away twice.
Right, and the guy, I can't remember who it was in the outfield, screwed it up and all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's about 50 years. I'm just talking about the Nats have only in this incarnation has been around 15 years. You know, yeah, it is. Sure, they've been, you know, they've had some bad breaks or whatever, but, you know, speak to someone who was a Cubs fan who finally got 108 years off of torture, right? Or
yeah.
Or the Red Sox or the White Sox. You know, talking about epic, historic franchise. I'm never going to defend the Nationals, so that's another story. But I get where you're going with that. But there's a lot of if you want someone, you want a fan base that's been tortured. Talk about the Mets this year and the same division. The Mets have gone through just the same thing. They've got, and they might trade off two of their big prospects, right? DeGrom and Syndergaard are right there that they're talking about. And if that happens, I mean, that team. What is there to cheer for if you're a Mets fan? And a couple of years ago, they were in a World Series against Kansas City, and they had a chance. If they would have won that game in extra innings, they might have pushed that series. Could have won a World Series, and now they're nowhere to be found, right? So baseball, it's. I mean, hey, and the flip side, and I love that division right now because you got Atlanta and Philadelphia, who I don't think anyone expects them to do this well. I mean, probably Philadelphia a little bit more than Atlanta, but. It can change quickly. If you got some prospects and they kind of cobble together and you run a season, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, Michael can talk about the Twinkies. They're not, as terrible as they've been this year. They're actually only 7 games back at Cleveland because that division is, no one's running away with it, right? So, I mean, you can still get lightning in a bottle. We're still only midway through July, so there is some chances of, if you want to, get on a streak. I mean, the Pirates just had an 11-game win streak to get back sort of into the wild card contention. So, I mean, that's baseball. It's the beauty of it. But I think if the Nationals are actually being logical and reasonable about this, you have to trade Harper now to get some assets for him if you're not going to sign him after this year.
Only if you're going to get a plus assets. If you're not, then it's probably just better to let him walk, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I had this rant ahead of time that I would rather get no assets than mediocre assets. If you're not getting a good return for them, then it's better to just hold them and let them walk.
Well, I think you're talking about that because the Blue Jays just got that.
Correct.
Deal.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it, right? Like, you've got two guys that are clogging up your 40-man roster that I would rather just not have on the 40-man. So, like, it's better to get no assets than mediocre assets, in my opinion.
Interesting. I mean, the problem is it's a hard sell for the fan base.
Oh.
R.I.P. Mike Zook.
Chris, we just lost him.
Sorry, Chris.
Hopefully we'll get him back in a second. A couple quick things just based on what he said. It was Nelson Cruz who bobbled the catch in the World Series.
Nelly. It was David Freese, right, that hit the ball?
It was David Freese who hit the ball. Zook, you back?
Yep.
Okay, we just lost you for a second there. I was just saying it was Nelson Cruz who bobbled the ball off of David Freese in the World Series for the Rangers there, now DHing for the Mariners. There was a great piece yesterday on Deadspin. David Roth wrote, you mentioning the Mets being such a disaster. How bad does it have to get before Rob Manfred does something about the Mets was the article. And it just talks about kind of like the history of the things with the Wilpons and with the front office problems there and just what a quagmire of an organization that has been for about like 5 years now. Really,
listen, if Rob Manfred didn't get directly involved with Jeff Loria and the Marlins, they're not
going to
get involved with the Mets.
And I mean, this is the thing, the commissioner is employed by the owners.
Yeah,
like that's, let's be quite honest about like how the org chart. Yes.
No, exactly.
It's the same thing as with the NFL. And
none of the owners are going to want to oust an owner unless it's making the entire league look demonstrably bad on like a public relations scale, not like a how good the team is scale, because they don't want the other owners to have that ability to turn around and oust them if their team has been really bad for a couple of years.
To set that precedent.
No, they don't want it. So it's not happening.
Right. I got to be honest, too. I don't understand that article because if we're not talking New York, do people care? Like, I mean, Kansas City Royals is an example. They won a World Series 3 years ago and are just falling off the face of the earth. But I would, as a fan base, I'll be honest, I would cheer for the Royals because I have nephews out there. And I'd take that swap, I'll be honest. I mean, I think if you're a Jays fan, you take that swap. You take a World Series and then plummet for a while to take a World Series title, right? I mean, it's ultra-competitive. All these teams, you see what's happening this year. All the big teams, your Red Sox and Yankees and Dodgers and Cubs and Astros, they're all, loading up, right? They're all loading up for the postseason because they're all kind of positioned already to get to the postseason. And so the window to win now, I mean, look, if you're a Jays fan, your window, you knew that. Your window was a couple years ago. Good luck now trying to win that division with Red Sox and the Yankees. And then and then even trying to squeeze in there in a wild card. Like, it's going to be virtually impossible for the next 3 or 4 years, right? So if you had a chance, I would do it. If it's not the Mets they're talking about, I think no one would say an article like that. That seems ridiculous. Well,
it's crazy.
The genesis of the article kind of talks about, like, McCourt in L.A. and the fact that, his off-field financial issues affected the organization. And how long do you let something like that fester before you clean it up?
They're still paying Bobby Bonilla, aren't they?
I believe so.
Every July 1st is Bobby Bonilla Day. It's fantastic. He's there, I believe, till 2031, I believe.
Holy.
It's an amazing... If anyone ever wants to read... Like, just type in his name on Google there.
It's so funny.
It's just fascinating. It's just a fascinating how the Mets think they got something over him. His agent...
This is like the St. Louis Spirit of 76 ABA television contract deal. Where it's like those two owners are still getting paid from that.
So to loop back to something that you said earlier, Zook, you mentioned that, for fan bases, you'd trade 20 years of suffering for one championship. I think, like, you can legitimately test this theory because you can ask Marlins fans, right?
100%.
They've won two World Series, and their team has been awful in every year that they haven't won a World Series. And so, because of fire sales and stuff like that, and so, like, I'd be curious to ask a Marlins fan straight up whether or not they would trade those championships, or one of those championships even, to just be, like, decent the rest of the time.
It would be fascinating. I will say this. If I was I would never be a long-suffering Marlin fan because you've won two. Like, it's crazy when you think about it in the last, 15-ish years. Like, they won two, right? Like the Dodgers haven't won one since 89, okay? So the Dodgers have been good, consistently good, really good or not, but they haven't won one since 89, right? Kansas City was 85 before they won in 16, right? So... I don't know if you're, if I'm a Marlins fan, I would take that trade off. I would take, my goodness, I would give my left, whatever, if the Expos ever came back and won one. Or talk to any Jets fan here if they won one, right?
Like, yeah.
To me, that's when the Cubs won a couple years ago. It was so euphoric, right? Because it was like...
107 years.
Right? One time in the Red Sox when that happened. And then when they won a couple more, we were like, oh, okay, now the Red Sox are just like the Yankees, right? But they hadn't won forever, St. Louis is a pretty good example of a very consistent. They win some, but they're always there, right?
Oh,
so, St. Louis is crazy when you think about they fired their manager here. Like, any other organization, they're like, hey, they're 500 balls. That's good. For them, it's like, oh, no, we're not going to win. We're not have a chance for World Series. You're gone, right? So they have a different level, and every organization is different. I'm just saying is if you're a fan base, if I'm a Marlin, if I was a Marlin fan, they have Marlin, the Marlin fan guy or whatever. I'd take that trade off in a second. In a second, I'd take 20 years of bad baseball if you give me one good year. It's about winning at the end of the day. I get what you're saying about it's nice to cheer and they'd be consistent. They always have a chance, which is great. It's tough now in baseball. I feel like you're getting more towards the rich are getting richer, and are we going to see a Kansas City win one? Well, they won like 3 years ago, but are we going to see a small market win one again? It'd be hard to say. If you're looking at the usual suspects right now are your Dodgers and New York and Boston. And I guess Cleveland might be a small market. I guess that would be one consistent. Houston's definitely not. Philadelphia's not. Milwaukee, I guess, would be constituted that. But they're far and few between, right? And I don't know. I would take it. You're always cheering for a title. If I take one over 20 years of
flags
heartache,
fly forever
I'd take it.
For sure. And as a Twins fan, rather than see them get bounced in the wild card by the Yankees on the regular, I would trade
you take
that.
One. You take one, right, Mike?
Absolutely.
You take a run through it one time. You're right, because the one thing is also like I was at the Sky Dome, right? And they have Robbie Alomar. They have his. They have like a little bar area, right? Which is really nice, and they're showing the highlights and stuff. Here's the deal. How long can you live off 92 and 93, right? This is what the Blue Jays are going to do, and
forever, apparently.
Well, exactly, right? Because they're having the 25-year anniversary, and 5 years they'll have the 30th anniversary, and that's all good, except. you know, other than, let's say, Jose Bautista, right? And that sort of era where, you know, that little stretch. That's it, right? Like, and so eventually you're going to have
Vlad Jr., World Series champion in 2025. It's happening. You mentioned the Cardinals, and that's actually, like, not a bad segue because I've heard that Joe Girardi wants the Cardinals job.
That is what I think I read as well. And I'll be honest, that sounds like a great fit. I mean, he's just sitting out there. He's a pretty good manager, you know, a very good manager. I think most teams would take him, right? So, I mean, that would fit in that vein of sort of a Tony La Russa.
And in the vein of the Cardinals or the Yankees of the National League.
Yeah, some of the Yankee way, the Cardinal way, and maybe someone that could solidify.
Best fans of baseball, apparently. yeah, so, I mean, it works, it makes sense, and it's bad news for Cubs fans because Mike Matheny was so bad that a lot of Cubs fans mentioned how he was their best manager for many years.
Secretly the best player on the Cubs roster.
Yeah, Mike Matheny. So, like, if the Cardinals do land Joe Girardi, that's bad news for the rest of the NL Central. Bad news.
Sure enough, and let's just turn it around for a second and why the Cubs won was Joe Maddon. Right? That signing, and also a Theo coming in at Epstein. But that signing was as big as, you know, Chris Bryant becoming Chris Bryant and Rizzo and Contreras and all the guys, you know, all the prospects doing well. But Joe Maddon, you know, a good manager, I think we downplay it sometimes, but a good manager can really take a team that's an average team to a very good team, to a challenge.
And they did something that I thought I would like to see more teams, when they got mad and they did something that I thought, they did something that more teams should do more often. They had just signed a manager to an extension the year previous.
That's right.
And they fired him in order to sign Maddon because they thought that Maddon was an upgrade. And I don't understand why teams don't do that more often.
Right, because why would you do that for players but not for managers?
Yeah.
If you value players that much, managers, especially like in this age of analytics and the shift and all that stuff, right? And also player relationship,
if
right?
If somebody because that good becomes available, you get them.
They literally just said, we'll pay you whatever you want. We're rolling the dice here. And because we think we've got this window of these prospects coming in and this core group, and we got the next 5 years to try and win a championship. And
that
if you're a Cubs fan, you won your championship, you're good for another 100 years.
When they signed him, I had a sports podcast at the time, mildly successful, that ended up on Shaw TV for a little bit.
Right.
And when they signed him, I made like definitely my most successful like take call of all time when the day that they signed him, I went on the show and said the Cubs are winning a World Series in the next 5 years, and I was right.
You should have put some money on that, Brian, and you wouldn't have been on this place right now. You'd be on a yacht somewhere. You'd have so much money.
Well, no, because you probably still would have had to have bet every single year. And
yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. You would have lost. You
would have lost a lot of money before winning at least some of it back.
The casino house always wins at the end, I guess. That's how that works.
Yep.
hey, Michael, just real quick here before we go. I know we got a couple minutes left. I missed the start there. Did we talk about the Hall of Fame coming up this weekend?
No, we did not.
I want to pour...
Tip your cap. Tip your cap is the good one.
Vladdy Guerrero.
We're not pouring one out.
Yeah, Vladdy Guerrero, but also I actually tip my hat to the Veterans Committee for Jack Morris, Alan Trammell, who I know Jack Morris is a controversial one, but Alan Trammell especially, people, you know, you got to go back a bit through, but, you know, Barry Larkin got in. This guy, people don't get to him and Lou Whitaker in the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, that Tigers team from the 80s had, like, I think it's sneakily good, right?
Real
like,
good.
I mean, they don't get the shine. I mean,
the 80s alone doesn't get it. Like, there's a great article recently I just read about Dale Murphy and sort of his case maybe for the Veterans Committee, you know, did he get a bit of a shaft in the 80s? And because what happened is the 90s and the aughts, kind of those numbers started to dwarf in the 80s. And the 80s, you know, let's be honest, there wasn't a lot of performance enhancing going on back then. And it was a different era of baseball. And I kind of think a lot of those guys get lost a bit there. And, you know, like, I mean, even Vladdy Guerrero, if you look at his numbers compared to, like, Larry Walker or stuff, they're comparable. But Vladdy Guerrero just had a lot of more of the it factor, which counts for Cooperstown a bit, right? It's not always the best, you know, which is, I think, the beauty of the Hall of Fame for baseball. I think it's the only one that we argue every year about, you know, who should get in, who doesn't, because it matters, because there's only like 220 or so in there. And so it really matters if you make it, because the level to make it is so high, right? So anyways, I just wanted to, I'm not going to be at Cooperstown. I can't get out there this year, but Vladdy also isn't going as Axel, which is sad a bit. If you've been watching the TV, they've had a good run-up of some of those stories and stuff. And just watching the old stuff with the Expos and him with the Angels. I mean, in his prime, that guy was no doubt a Hall of Famer, and I'm glad he's going in.
I wonder why he's not going in as an Expo.
As someone who has watched Game 7 of the Twins World Series win on the video that I own, I'm very happy to see Jack Morris go in.
Oh, 100%. That alone, he pitched that series was all Jack Morris. And he also did an 84 of the Tigers. I mean, he was the premier pitcher of the 80s, right? And so his numbers aren't analytically as strong as a lot of other players. But he was the dominant pitcher. If you wanted one pitcher in the 80s to win a game, right, or in the early 90s, right, you're a Twinkie fan. You know, Jack Morris, that was the guy.
He was, him or Nolan Ryan, I would say, in that era.
Yeah.
But, he was definitely, like, this is the thing. Like, those were the guys who would pitch, like, 270 innings a season. So, they would play some garbage games because they were just thrown out there all the time. And they were left out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally different.
Where they were getting beat up. Yeah. So, the attitude towards them is entirely different. And we hadn't really kind of worked into the modern bullpen of, like, you know, they pitch six and then three guys come in for an individual inning and stuff like that. You know, they would get a closer in. Pitch one out in the eighth and then the three in the ninth or something. But
yeah,
it was, an entirely different time. So
lots of dudes with really bad mustaches.
Really bad or really good, depending on how you look at it. So Jack Morris, Alan Trammell, Vlad Guerrero, Trevor Hoffman, Chipper Jones, and Jim Thome all inducted this week.
Great class.
So
unbelievable.
A lot of hat tips to that crew. I'm going to pour one out for the people of King County. Deadspin. Barry Pachesky writing that the Mariners have issued an ultimatum after signing a term sheet for a 25-year lease extension for Safeco with King County. The Mariners now saying that they are going to back out unless the county guarantees $180 million from taxpayers for upgrades and costs associated with the ballpark. That ballpark was paid for $517 million in 99 entirely with public money. The Mariners pay rent, but it's going to be $55 million in rent payments over the 25-year lease versus the $180 that they're demanding. And their owner is a billionaire.
Yep.
And I think it's garbage.
Billionaires need to pay for their own stadiums.
There was a book written in 2003 about this called Public Dollars, Private Stadiums, The Battle Over Building Sports Stadiums. This is not a new idea that what they supposedly bring in terms of benefit to the community is not necessarily in line with what the community ends up paying for. And this is coming from a tax that is currently going towards the stadium next door for the Seahawks. But when that comes off the books, you know, they could be investing in public housing or other things in Seattle. And anytime I read something like this, I just get incensed.
Billionaires need to pay for their own stadiums. It's ridiculous that they don't. I don't understand obviously they want to make a bunch of money, but I don't understand why governments are okay with it, because you know, they don't make, the government and the people don't make any money off of it, right? They put in these billions and billions and billions of dollars with the taxpayer dollars, and every single dime profit, every single concert ticket, every single hot dog sold, every single parking ticket sold
goes to the team.
It's crazy. Billionaires need to be paying for their own stadiums.
Yeah.
Silly.
And on that angry note, that's it. Actually, perfect lead-in for Democracy Now, because Lord knows. Dave Zirin has been a guest, and that's something that he talks about on Democracy Now. And I'm sure Amy Goodman has something to say about, public good and private profit. So
Hey, go watch the Gold Eyes also this weekend. It's going to be a nice week for weather, so yep. People go watch some Orca Ball as well.
Beautiful weekend out there. Enjoy it. And we'll be back here next Friday.